Oh, so much heart. The ones that really show up for you and want to be on your team, it seems like those top horses always have just that heart, and they want to help you. And whether they be the most talented horse or not, if they have a heart, usually you can do good things.
You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to The Ride, a podcast brought to you by Horse and Rider Magazine, hosted by Nicole Cherico and Emily Carey.
This episode is brought to you by Farnam, celebrating 80 years of equine care and Endure Gold Killer Fly and Mosquito Control. A new fly spray for horses. Built for hard work, Endure Gold annihilates flies, ticks, and mosquitoes with brand new EPA-approved ingredients never before seen in equine care. Its powerful formulation delivers fast knockdowns and up to 14 days of fly protection, helping keep horses comfortable in the barn, arena, or out on the trail. Add Endure Gold to your fly control arsenal. One spray, no mercy.
Welcome back to The Ride. I'm your host, Emily Carey, and today I'm joined by Abby Phillips, one of the top competitors and trainers in the rein cowhorse industry. From major wins on some of the sport's biggest stages to building a respected career alongside her husband, Kelby, Abby's become known not only for her success in the show pen, but for her feel, horsemanship, and consistency across all sorts of horses. Abby, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So for our listeners who aren't as familiar with the rein cowhorses, can you kind of dive into what it is you do and how you got involved with horses?
So we compete in three events. We have to show them in the cutting, reining, and then what we call down the fence. So we do some fence work on some cows. Originally, growing up, I've always been on horses. My dad had me on horses at a very young age. But we had a farm and ranch. I helped gather cows, but mostly I just rode them every single day. It didn't matter if I was bareback, saddle, whatever. That's what I was doing.
What made you want to pursue this professionally?
It didn't start out that way. I helped my husband Kelby for a long time. I competed as a non-pro. What made me pursue it professionally was a few things, but one of them being, it's called the Annie Reynolds rule, if people aren't familiar with it. But if you have won close to 100,000 in the open as a non-pro, if you win over 100,000, you have to make the call whether you're a straight open rider or you stay as a non-pro the rest of your life. So I was nearing that number, and they called me and told me that I needed to make that decision, which meant if I chose to be a non-pro, then I couldn't compete in the world's greatest. I couldn't compete in the Run for the Million. And the love that I have for this sport and the horses and everything just made me decide that I wanted to try my hand in the open. And I also didn't want to be told that I could not compete in an event. So I decided to switch over, and it's been a fun journey so far.
Yeah, and especially in those big events, you know, which you won the Run for a Million.
So yeah.
Clearly the right call to make.
Yeah.
What was that transition like going from, you know, working in the ranch, just, you know, ranch horses into, you know, the competitive cow horse world? How did you find UCJ?
I grew up rodeoing too, so I always had a competitive, like I always wanted to compete. So that's actually been a part of my life, competing for a long time. The first cow horse I rode was when I was 18, and I fell in love with just the horsemanship that goes along with it, how broke the horses are, and their ability to do three events.
What was that first horse's name?
His name was Cluck, Rooster Cluck, actually. He was one of my best friend's horses, Sophie Butters, and her husband is a trainer, Brandon Butters. They let me ride it, and I was like, wow, this is incredible.
So you went from incredible horses to incredible horses along your journey.
And
obviously, Brandon Butters is a huge name in the cow horse world. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other, you know, influences on your early on in your career? Any trainers or mentors?
I mean, that was my first cow horse I had ever rode. So, I got to ride alongside Brandon, you know, for a few years. And then I met Kelby through them. And so I got to see Kelby progress through his whole career. I met him when he worked for Zane. And so I just fell in love with the training. I fell in love with the horses, and it just progressed into where it's at now.
See, I couldn't find that mute button.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me about some of those other horses that you've, you know, that really impacted in your career early on?
Yeah. So I showed a horse named Bedhead Cat. He's still very, very special to me. Kelby actually trained him for the Gardeners when he worked there, and showed him as a three-year-old, and did really well on him. My dad ended up buying that horse right after the snaffle bit. And so Kelby showed him as a four and part of his five-year-old year. And then I was like, I think it's my turn to try my hand at this. So I showed him for the first time in 2015, was my first show that I showed at. And he taught me so much. He was a super talented horse, and obviously Kelby trains very, very well. So it was easy to ride and follow. And that horse has taught me so much as far as training and the love of it, and to respect them in general. But he was the first horse I made the World's Greatest Finals on. So that was very, very special to me.
Now, you've had a slew of super impressive horses through your barn. Now, we've got to talk about the man of the hour, this long, flowing
mane. Yeah.
Last time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's the best.
How did that come around? How did he come into your program?
So we actually seen him shown. Oh man, it feels like forever, but it's not been that long ago. So I've had him 4 years, I think. We seen him shown at the World's Greatest when he was, I want to say he was seven, maybe six. And anyways, another guy showed him, and we seen him there, and we decided after that, Kelby, and actually there was a couple people, Kelby and Ty Brown, made the call to the lady that owned him and asked if he would be for sale. And so she said that would be a possibility, and we got to ride him, and it ended up just working out so that we got him into our barn.
Yeah, and work out it did. I mean, the Run for a Million Championship, countless finals and championships. What a horse. Like, holy cow.
He's incredible. He's definitely a heart horse. Yeah. He helped build my career from the very bottom. Yeah.
What has that journey looked like? You know, because obviously it must be different owning your horse and showing your own horse rather than a client. What is that kind of that switch like?
So I try not to let that affect me, owning my horse and a client's horse. I actually like to try to make it so I feel like I own every horse, even though it's a client's horse, because I want to do just as good on every single one, whether it be mine or theirs. I want to have good results. So that mentality doesn't really play into anything. I just try to show the horse the best of its ability.
And you've ridden a lot of really impressive horses over the years. What is one thing that kind of sticks out to you about, like, that all these talented horses really have in common?
So much heart. The ones that really show up for you and want to be on your team, it seems like those top horses always have just that heart, and they want to help you. And whether they be the most talented horse or not, if they have heart, usually you can do good things.
What is the training process kind of look like as you're getting a horse in there and discovering if he does have the heart to do this or not? How does that kind of influence how you approach training him and getting him ready for all three events? There's a lot that goes into that, I imagine.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, some horses sometimes try too hard, and you gotta be like, hey, rein it back a little bit, you know, like, let me help you and put you in a good position. But the ones that do have that, it helps the training all the way around. You find out the ones that don't have a lot of heart, and they may train up really well. They may be really talented, but at the end of the day, when you're going down the fence and you have to really call on one, and if they don't have it, it's hard to show a horse like that. Yep.
So you've competed at the World's Greatest Horseman a few times, mm-hmm. at the Run for a Million, on the biggest stages. There's got to be a lot of pressure on there, whether you are riding, you know, your own horse or a client's horse. Regardless of that, what's the mentality like walking into those high pressure environments?
You know, it is stressful and nerve wracking. I try not to let that get to me. I want to have fun at this. And if it's not fun at the end of the day, I really don't want to do it that bad. So I try just to keep that in mind, like, just go in there and have fun, and whatever is going to happen is going to happen, and let the cards fall where they may. Not to say that you don't want to win, because I feel like if you're not nervous, then you probably don't really want to win. But It is fun and exciting, and I love that. I love showing in pressured situations like that.
Yeah. And at the time that we're recording this, we are days away from the start of the NRCHA Derby. How are mm-hmm. you preparing for that?
Well, this morning I was going down the fence on all my horses before I was talking to you. So, just trying to get them ready and confident. Going to do some fence work, these next couple days before we head out, and just making sure they feel good and they're confident in what they're doing.
Can you tell us a little bit about the lineup that you're bringing out to Scottsdale?
I have a great lineup. I have five good Derby horses that I'm super excited to show. Super blessed to have them. And then I have three great bridle horses to show in this Spectacular and in the Run for the Million qualifier. And one of them being my husband's horse, Crazy Horse. He was gracious enough to let me show him. So I'm pretty excited to show him for the first time too.
So as you're looking at your lineups, what are you looking for in these horses that determine whether they're ready to go to the next maturity or to the next Derby? What factors do they have to have to make the cut to get on the trailer?
Obviously they have to be, you know, talented. That is one thing. Just to make an open finals nowadays, you have to have a super talented horse, but also mentally. I mean, they have to be mentally prepared. They have to want to help you. So that factors into all of it, is just being mentally prepared and making sure you have a good talented horse.
This episode of The Ride is brought to you by Farnham and Endure Gold Killer Fly and Mosquito Control, a new fly spray for horses. Thank you guys for tuning into the Ride Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and please be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow Horse and Rider Magazine on social media and find us at horseandrider.com to see all the cool things that we're up to. And if you have any comments or questions, please be sure to hit us up at horseandrider@equinenetwork.com. We want to hear from you guys. And if you like what you're listening to, please be sure to leave us a review on iTunes.